Title: Drum Bus Weight from Scratch in Ableton Live 12 Intermediate. Alright, let's build Drum Bus Weight from Scratch in Ableton Live 12, specifically for drum and bass. And when I say weight, I don't mean make it louder. I mean that concrete feeling where the kick, snare, and any break layers sit like a single, confident instrument even when the bass line is massive and the track is moving fast at 174. We're going to build a clean routing setup, a main drum bus chain using mostly stock devices, and then we'll add a parallel crush return for density. The whole vibe is, keep the transients punchy, keep the lows controlled, and make the drums feel expensive without turning your hats into sandpaper. Before we touch any effects, quick mindset check. In DNB, weight can mean different anchors. It might be sub-support around 40 to 70 Hz risky, because that's where your bass usually lives. It might be knock around 80 to 130 Hz, which translates great on small speakers. Or it might be chest and thickness, around 150 to 260, where snares and breaks start feeling physical. Pick one main anchor for this track, and don't try to max out all three at once on the main bus. That's how you get big meters but soft impact. Step 0. Gain staging. This is the unsexy part that makes the sexy part work. On your individual drum tracks, aim for peaks around minus 10 to minus 6 dBFS. Then on the drum bus, before any processing, you want peaks around minus 8 to minus 4. And on the master while you're building, keep headroom. Peaks below minus 6 is a good practical target. If your drum bus is already clipping, every processor after that is basically reacting to a problem you created. So pull clip gain down, pull track faders down, whatever you need. Clean in, clean decisions. Now routing. Create a new audio track and name it Drum Bus. Then take your kick, snare, hats and percussion, and your optional break layer and set their audio to output to the drum bus. Teacher note, this is one of the biggest workflow upgrades you can make in DNB. Your drums stop feeling like separate Lego pieces and start feeling like one machine. It also means you can /be your entire drum character with one device bypass, which is huge for decision making. Now let's build the main chain on the drum bus. First device, EQ8. Clean up and sculpt. Put EQ8 first. We're going to remove useless rumble and carve a pocket so the weight reads as weight, not mud. Start with a gentle high pass around 20 to 25 Hz. In DNB, don't get aggressive here on the whole drum bus, because you can accidentally thin your kick and remove the sense of floor. The goal is just sub-rumble that isn't musical. Next, the mud zone. Put a bell cut around 220 to 350 Hz. Start around minus 1.5 to minus 3 dB, with a Q somewhere around 1.0 to 1.4. Now, don't do this in solo. Loop a section with the bass line playing, and sweep that frequency slightly. The right spot is where the drums suddenly feel clearer and more forward, but they don't feel hollow. Optional. If your snare needs just a bit more presence, a tiny lift around 3 to 5 kHz, like plus 1 dB, can help, but keep it subtle. If you keep boosting presence, you usually end up with hats that feel sharp and tiring. DNB tip, if your bass is huge in the 50 to 80 Hz region, you may want your drum bus to lean a bit higher. Let the bass own the true sub, and let the kick's weight be more about the upper bass and low mids. That's one of the cleanest ways to sound big without fighting yourself. Second device, drum bus. This is your fast path to weight. Drop drum bus right after EQ8. Here's a strong starting point for rolling styles. Drive around 5 to 12%, crunch 0 to 10%, and honestly, start near zero unless your drums are super clean. Crunch can get harsh fast, especially on hats. Turn boom on. Set the boom frequency somewhere around 55 to 80 Hz. The exact spot depends on your kick's fundamental. Amount around 10 to 25%, decay around 150 to 250 milliseconds. Now here's how to tune boom quickly without overthinking. Loop one bar with kick and snare. Sweep the boom frequency slowly. You're listening for the moment the kick feels bigger and more confident, but it doesn't turn into that basketball bounce. If the low end starts smearing the groove or pushing into the bass line, reduce decay first, then reduce amount. Also use damp. Somewhere around 5 to 20% can smooth fizzy top end so the bus gets heavier without getting brighter. And very important, use trim to level match. /be your drum bus on and off at roughly the same perceived loudness. If it's louder, you'll automatically think it's better, even if you just added mess. Quick coach note, if you're unsure whether boom is helping, drop a spectrum device temporarily and toggle boom. You want the low peak to get a bit taller in a controlled way. If the low end becomes wider and messy, That usually means you're creating a double hump or low resonance that feels loud but actually reduces punch. Third device, glue compressor. Cohesion, not smashing. Add glue compressor after drum boss. The goal is the drums moving together as a unit, not flattening the life out of them. Start with attack at 3 milliseconds for more punch, or 1 millisecond if you want it tighter. Release at 0.3 seconds or auto. Ratio 2 to 1 or 4 to 1. Now bring the threshold down until you're seeing about 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on the loudest hits. That's the zone. And turn soft clip on. In DMB, that soft clip is ridiculously useful for catching little spikes without sounding like you threw a limiter on everything. Listen for three things. The snare stays forward. The kick doesn't disappear. And the hats don't pump in an annoying way. If you hear pumping, don't panic and delete compression. Usually you either need a slightly slower attack, less gain reduction, or you need to fix the parallel layer later. Transient preservation is often about deciding who owns the transient, the main bus, or the crush return, or the saturation stage. Optional fourth device, roar, for controlled harmonics and darker weight. If you want drums that still feel heavy on small speakers, and you want a bit of grit without frying the top end, add roar after glue. Go easy. Pick a warmer mode. Keep drive low. Something like 2 to 8 dB depending on the mode and the input. Use roars filtering so you're not overcooking the highs. A gentle low pass around 10 to 14K is a good starting move. If you're not using roar, saturator is a great alternative. Analog clip mode, drive 2 to 6 dB. Soft clip on and level match the output. Extra teacher thought. This is where you can create speaker weight without adding more sub. A touch of harmonic content around 120 to 250 Hz, and sometimes a little in the 700 to 1.5K zone, makes drums read on phones and laptops. The trick is generating harmonics while keeping the top end controlled, which is why filtering after saturation matters. Fifth device, limiter, as safety. Put limiter last on the drum bus, ceiling around minus 0.8 dB, then lower threshold, until you only see 1 to 2 dB of reduction on the hardest snare hits. If you're taking 4 to 6 dB off on the drum bus limiter, you're probably flattening your transients. That's where the parallel crush comes in. You want density without losing front edge. Now let's build the parallel drum crush return. This is where a lot of modern DNB weight actually comes from, because you can absolutely destroy a copy of the drums then blend it in underneath the clean punch. Create a return track and name it drum crush. On your drum bus, send signal to that return. Start the send level around minus 18 to minus 12 dB. Low and controlled. You can always bring it up later. Now build this chain on the return. First, saturator or roar. Let's say saturator for clarity. Drive 8 to 16 dB. Soft clip on. Then pull the output down so you're not blasting the return into clipping unless you want that specifically. Second, compressor, not glue. This is for heavy grab. Ratio 8 to 1 up to 12 to 1. Attack 10 to 30 milliseconds, so the crack can still poke through. Release 50 to 120 milliseconds for bounce and energy. Then lower threshold until you're seeing 6 to 12 dB of gain reduction. Yes, that's a lot. That's the point. Coach note, if your snare transient starts disappearing when you blend the crush in, don't automatically reduce compression on the main bus. Often the crush is masking the transient cues. Fix it by slowing the attack on this crush compressor, or by low-passing the return a bit so the fizzy distortion doesn't sit right where the snare crack lies. Another trick is moving heavy saturation after the compressor on the return. That can give you density without that spiky clipping feel. Third, EQ 8 to shape the crush. High-pass the crush return around 70 to 120 Hz. That keeps your sub and true low-end authority in the main bus, so the low-end stays clean and doesn't blur. If it gets harsh, dip around 3 to 6 kHz. And if you want meat, a small boost around 180 to 250 can help. But again, decide what your weight anchor is. If you're prioritizing knock at 100, don't inflate 200 just because it sounds cool in solo. Fourth, utility as your blend control. Start by pulling the return down, like minus 6 dB. Then slowly bring it up until you miss it when it's muted, but when it's unmuted, you don't think distortion layer. You think, oh, the drums suddenly feel finished. That's the sweet spot. Now, do a quick mono check early. Drop a utility on the drum bus temporarily, and hit mono. If the weight collapses, you're relying on stereo low mids or wide break content for impact, and that can vanish in clubs. Kick and snare body should survive mono confidently. Then turn mono off and keep going. At this point, you've got a solid drum bus. But weight isn't just processing. its arrangement and timing. Keep kick and snare consistent in the drop. Variations should mostly come from ghost notes and breaks, not changing your main impact samples every two bars. Add ghost snares at low velocity, like 10-30%, just before or after the 2 and 4. That creates roll and forward motion, and it makes the bus compression react in a more musical way. If you're layering a break, high-pass it around 120 to 200 Hz so it adds movement, not mod. Let the main kick and snare own the low-mid punch. And try micro-timing. Nudge hats a few milliseconds late for a laid-back roll. Nudge ghost notes slightly early to pull into the snare. Those tiny timing decisions can make the exact same bus settings feel like they suddenly bounce. Now let's hit common mistakes, because avoiding these is half the skill. Don't overboost 50 to 80 on the drum bus. That fights the bass line and makes mastering harder. Don't use too much drum bus boom decay. In fast EDNB, long decay turns into boom and smears the rhythm. Don't smash glue with 5 to 10 dB of gain reduction. You'll lose punch, hats will pump, and the snare will shrink. Don't distort the entire top end. Crunchy hats are an instant giveaway. If you want aggression, use EQ before and after saturation, and do a lot of that aggression on the parallel return instead of the main bus. And don't skip level matching when A/B testing. Loud always wins. You need fair comparisons. Now a mini practice exercise you can do in about 15 to 25 minutes. Load a basic DNB pattern at your tempo. Kick on 1, snare on 2 and 4, hats on 8ths or 16ths. Add a break quietly. Route everything into drum bus. Build the main chain in order. EQ 8. Drum bus, glue compressor, limiter. Then create the drum crush return with saturator, compressor, EQ 8, utility. Now do 3 level match to slash B checks. First, drum bus chain on versus off. Second, crush return on versus off. Third, boom on versus off. Then export a 16 bar drop loop and listen on headphones and your phone speaker. If the drums vanish on the phone, don't add sub. This audio version is shortened for playback.